It's trash day, I'm putting you out, it's trash day. Putting you out, it's trash day. Putting you out of my mind. It's trash day, I'm putting you out, it's trash day. I'm putting you out, trash day, I'm putting you out of my mind. Now I'm gonna clean up, now I'm gonna clean up, now I'm gonna clean up the house. Taking all your garbage, taking all your garbage, taking all your garbage.
It starts with some beer, so you shouldn't have fear. Two garbage guys with facts, but they both still have tact. It's that time at last for the best damn podcast. It's Can Crusher Day!
And welcome back to Can Crushers, our weekly show. Paul's on his honeymoon finally, and joining me again this week, you're getting a lot of airtime, and I'm sure you're loving it. Welcome back to the weekly show, English Professor.
Thanks. I'm sure the listeners are loving it.
Yeah, I'm sure they're elated that you're here.
It's a good word.
All the time.
Yep. You're using better verbs since I've been joining you.
I am. It's because less beer. I feel worried to drink beer around you.
Yeah, because then you start to use silly words that don't exist, and I look at you very judgingly.
Martinez words, we call those.
Yep.
That's been a word forever. So, hey, what have you been doing? I know you've been doing some spotlights with me, but overall, what have you been doing in the wrestling business?
I am enjoying, for the most part, the Wednesday Night Wars. I'm digging AEW. I still like NXT. But the two main brand shows, I don't know if we just want to get this out of the way, but holy cow, what a hot mess Raw and SmackDown are. They're garbage, man.
They are trash. We'll get to them a little in depth. Does that make sense? Probably not. But we'll touch on we'll touch on them later in the show. But it's pretty much touching on them because John's right. There's nothing to watch on either one of those this week.
Yeah, they're garbage, but they're not doing great things.
Yeah! Oh, I like it. Remember that for later on.
All right.
So, one thing we do need to talk about, John, and I know you watched episode one with me, and I pointed you in the direction to watch episode three this week. NWA, what... I love it. It's an hour long, it's in the studio, and it's just pure wrestling.
It's a lot of fun. It's a throwback show, somewhat updated. People win with finishers. Like, when did that become a thing again? Like, you hit a finisher one time, and it works.
Yeah, and the more and more we talk to superstars of the past, we hear this over and over. I've listened to Traveling a few days here and there. The Cornette Show is saying it. Eric Bischoff has said it. There's Wrestling Ramblings, the Ringside Podcast. I mean, I'm just throwing all these podcasts out there. And if you want to go listen to them, great. But come back and listen to us as well, all over the place. But they're all saying the same thing. This false finish is killing wrestling right now.
Yeah, and another thing about the NWA is it does not look as choreographed, and so in that regard, it doesn't look maybe as sharp or as crisp, but, you know, that's okay. Marty Bell hitting a pedigree at the end of a match, I'd rather have her struggle for that move than the other lady handing her arms because she knows that's her next spot. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, and it actually looks more real. If she's struggling at the end of the match, she was just in a match too. Even though she's on the offense, beating the hell out of course, I have the name down. I didn't know you were going to skip to that one right off the bat. All right, whatever. Nonetheless, Crystal Rose. Crystal Rose was her name. You know, Marty Bell and Crystal Rose both in a match, so they're both fatigued. So if Marty has to struggle to get that move on to make it hurt, it does look better.
I agree. I'm totally with you.
So, all right, to start the show off, and we'll skip over the Marty Bell match now because you know what happened there. Joe Galli comes right on before the show actually starts, and he's like, I'm still a hard-pressing, what word did he use, interviewer that he's trying to find out what's going on with Camille and all this, and I have another great interview with him this week. Are you excited that the announcer is part of a storyline, John?
I am. Yeah, I know I told you like the first week the announcers were maybe just a little much. You know, and again, I don't mean Cornette, but I mean like the guys holding microphones. This week they were toned down a little bit, and they were funny and they were entertaining. Yeah, I absolutely have no problem with a commentator and announcer being involved in a storyline. It's nothing new. It could be fun. It could be done well.
Right, as long as it's done well. You know, we don't need any of this R-Truth shtick going on.
Right. Oh, God. Right.
So Eddie Kingston comes out and he calls out the Dawsons, and we get word that the Dawsons aren't sure if they want to fight him or not, but that's all to come later. We covered the Marty Bell match. The Dawsons come out and talk to Marquez. Now, if there's one person on this whole show I have a problem with, it's Marquez. I just think he's... he just doesn't seem to fit with Joe or Jim. That's the one that I have an issue with, and I don't know why. He could be a great guy. I just don't understand. He just stands there the whole time, John, you know?
Yeah, I'm okay with that, though. I'm all right with factions that don't exactly go together. I think it adds a level of realism.
So you're saying this broadcast team is a faction?
Yeah. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Like the Trios, the Trios, whatever the hell you call this tournament that we have going on right now.
Right. Right, which is a pretty hot tournament. Not to get off subject, but it's a pretty hot tournament.
Yeah, we'll touch on that after this.
All right.
So one of the points is I was busy last night and you reach out to me about Aaron Stevens. And I'll let you run with it because you were excited.
Yeah, I am excited because it's fun again. You know, Bobby Heenan said years ago that he loved pro wrestling. He loved going to the matches as a kid. And when he became a wrestler and manager, he said this business needs a kick in the pants and we need to stop taking ourselves so seriously. It's fun to see NWA not taking itself so seriously. And what I mean by that is he was doing an interview and then he whispers in the guy's ear the interviewer's here, and the interviewer lets everybody know that there will be no eye contact. That the no eye contact rule is still in effect. So the guy conducts the rest of the interview covering his own face so that he won't make eye contact with Stevens. It's hilarious. It's show business. And if you can have a piece of show business that is somewhat wrestling related, then why not? You'd posted an article where Terry Funk says he's never been an actor. He's not an actor. I disagree with Terry Funk because he's been in movies. But even despite that, his career as a pro wrestler, there was some acting involved, whether he knows it or not. And it's fun to see NWA incorporating some enjoyable acting, some show business, some characters, as long as they're wrestling related. And that's what I'm getting from this guy.
Are you going to get on the internet, the black web, whatever market, and try to find in 2020 the VHS copy of Pirates Tropical Pirates or whatever the hell the movie is? It's only in Romania, John.
Right, and it's only on VHS tape in Romania. That's right. And that's another thing. That was so funny. Like, you know, Bobby Heenan used to do that. He used to talk such a good game and then say something stupid. This guy's talking about he's an actor and wants to be treated with respect. And here's a clip from my movie, which, oh, by the way, was only released in Romania on VHS. That was hilarious. I enjoyed it. To answer your question, I don't know where you get VHS tapes these days, but I'll keep an eye out for it. I'll get on eBay or Amazon and see if I can find it. I'd be interested to see that movie.
That looked like a kid's toy floating around in a tub. It looked amazing.
Yeah, it did. It was pretty funny.
Caleb Conley takes on Dan Parker, the D-Man. I don't know much about this Caleb Parker. He got a big win a couple weeks ago, and he looks like the up-and-coming indie star of NWA, John.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I don't remember a whole lot of highlights from this match, but again, that's okay, because I like what they're doing as a whole show. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes there's just a match in between that doesn't necessarily showcase or highlight anything all that important, but in that regard, it adds like a level of realism. Like, this is another fight on the card tonight.
Right, exactly. Joe talks to Tim Storm, and this is a big part. This is a big storyline going right now. Tim Storm had his last NWA championship match on week one as he lost to Aldis. And he's, John, I think he's contemplating retirement. I really do.
Yeah, he's probably in his mid-50s. I told you this when we watched episode one together. There's something about him. He's a bit of a throwback, and I can't put my finger on it, but he reminds me of somebody, you know, somebody from the 80s. But he looks like an old-school NWA world champion. Maybe Harley Race.
Dick the Bruiser.
But I like his look. Yeah, he does look like a bruiser, yeah, like Dick the Bruiser. You're right. But I like his style in the ring. I like his look. Again, he's a throwback NWA, old-school NWA world champion. And he's contemplating retirement until Eli Drake comes out and tells him that, everybody's here loving on you showing your mom respect and cheering for your mom, but would your mom be proud of you if she knew you were quitting?
You didn't want to say loving on Mama Storm? Is that what you did?
Yeah, I stopped myself just short of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he says, hey,
great segment, though. Good segment.
Yeah.
Drove a simple story forward.
I have one beef about this whole show this week. And it's nonsensical. But it's that because it's that much nonsensical. The stupid commercial about invisible hair cream. Like, what the hell are they trying to do there? Did you not see this?
I did, yeah. I was confused. I'm watching that and I'm thinking, is this part of the show? Is this a commercial? Like a real commercial? I wasn't sure what the hell was going on with that.
Because you see, NWA is not really sponsored by Nabisco or Purina or, you know, Can Crushers or anybody yet. So they're having these little breaks of their own, and you have the Austin Idol Wrestling Show, College. Okay, that's
right.
Cool.
Yep.
Or let's sell a couple DVDs so they'll sell some of their DVDs. I'm all right with that. You throw something in like this to be hokey or something, I don't know. I don't know what the hell to think besides I didn't like it.
I agree. You know, we were talking earlier that it's show business and it's supposed to be fun and shouldn't take itself too seriously. But we also said keeping that within the realm of pro wrestling, I have no idea where that segment fits. I don't know what they're trying to sell. I didn't get it at all.
Josephus comes out and he wants to hang out with James Storm. He wants another fight again. And John, one of the props in this segment made me go like, ah, yes, I'm so glad that's back. Colt Cabana comes out and they get into a little bit of a shtick. And Josephus gives Colt a hat. He gives him a play gun. And then he throws powder. The powder that makes you blind for decades gets thrown in Colt Cabana's face. And he's rolling all over the place. I was so happy. When was the last time we've seen powder?
Oh, wow.
Fuji.
Maybe, yeah. Hulk Hogan threw napalm, I guess, in Sergeant Slaughter's eyes. But, yeah, I don't remember the last time we saw powder like that. Andy Kaufman threw it in Jerry Lawler's eyes. But it's been a while. It's definitely been a while. And that just was a good, old-fashioned, fun shtick to see.
James Storm comes out, and it looks like he's going to take on Colt Cabana, but Colt Cabana's partner, Mr. Anderson, comes out and makes a save. So there's a whole lot of business going on with the four of them right now, and I like that they're taking these first 5, 6, 7, 8 shows that NWA is doing right now and setting up storylines.
Yeah, I agree. They're not real big storylines, and that's okay. But they're wrestling related storylines, and they're keeping them simple, because I mean that's what works, you know, and that's what people are starving for.
Yeah, Aldis and Camille come out to discuss the interview, and first of all, let me say I'm attracted to Camille. She's got this face. She could beat my ass. She really could, but she is just a good-looking woman.
No arguments for me on all of that. She's a good-looking woman, and she could probably whip your ass.
Okay. All right. So they get in a little bit heated argument again, more of this whole clickbait thing with Joey, and they give Camille time to talk, and she still doesn't want to talk yet.
You know, she is so good because she did like a little head tilt and opened her mouth. And I thought she's going to say something. And then she didn't. She totally baited me and fooled me into thinking that she was going to say something.
John, in yesterday we recorded an interview with the Perfect 10 baby doll. And this is props to Camille as... We were talking later on in the evening or whatever. Camille's a new baby doll, in my eyes.
Yeah, I might agree with that. Baby doll could give a look, and she didn't have to say a whole lot. And she got involved once in a while, but when she did get involved, it meant something. Like when she put Ric Flair's leg on the bottom rope. That alone made her turn on Dusty. I see her getting involved occasionally, but not to the extreme of like a Sherry Martel where she's like gouging eyes or scratching someone's back or anything, right. But it's subtle. So yeah, that's a very good comparison.
Nice. All right. Now we have the main event. We have the Dawsons against Eli Drake and Storm, and just adding more to the storyline as this match goes on, and you can run with it.
I thought we were going to see a betrayal at the end because when Eli Drake came out initially, he said something snarky to the announcer. I don't remember exactly what he said to him. Shut up, mind your business, whatever he said to him. But it was definitely heelish. So I was surprised that it was a tag team match in the first place. When I saw the Perfect Storm get pinned, and also earlier, before he got pinned, actually, there was a point where they collided because they're not used to teaming up. But there was a point where they may have collided or Storm accidentally hit Drake, took him out of the match. Storm was double teamed and pinned, and that was the end of that. I thought there was going to be betrayal at the end of that. And I think maybe they were kind of teasing that and then didn't deliver on it. Yeah, I thought we were heading towards a possible storyline between the two partners.
Yeah, I did too, but then all hell breaks loose as Kingston and Homicide come out looking for the Dawsons. Eli kind of just leaves Storm laying to waste, and who comes out to end the show as credits roll? The NWA Heavyweight Champion, Nick Aldis. So there's still a storyline with Aldis involved in this as well. So Storm in, like, two stories right now.
Yeah, that was a surprise with the champion coming out at the end. wasn't quite sure where he stood on things. You know, some of the old timers complain that there are no baby faces anymore and that everybody's kind of in between. NWA is kind of making that work a little bit, though.
Yeah.
You know, I'd say the champion's a heel, but sometimes kind of leans the other way, you know?
Yeah. It all depends on who he's fighting, and that's such a PC answer. But if he's fighting James Storm, I think he's going to be the face. But if he's going to go against Tim Storm, you know, he's not. So, all right. So, once again, NWA, it's on at 6:05 on Tuesdays on YouTube. But then after that, it's always on. You can go back and watch it. John, I love that they're on YouTube and we can watch it at any time. But I also hope they get a real deal soon. I really do. More people need to see this.
Yeah, I agree. I like the fact that you can watch it anytime on YouTube, but that's got to be a tough gig. I mean, wrestling since the beginning of television, wrestling has been relying on television. So it'd be nice if they got some sort of TV deal where they were on regular TV.
Yeah. So all in all, great show, and let's talk about our tournament before I jump over to OVW. How about that?
Yeah, all right. It's a great tournament. The Trial of the Trios, which you had great difficulty saying just a few minutes ago.
Right, and I'll say it again. I'll mess it up. Today we have Dusty Rhodes and the LOD taking on the Riot Squad, and I'm sure this isn't even going to be close. I would imagine it's not even going to be close.
Unfortunately, I like the Riot Squad. The ladies have not fared well in this tournament, which is a shame because they've fared well in other tournaments where they've competed against men. Charlotte Flair went far in the Legacy tournament, but this tournament hasn't been kind to the ladies. They've had some tough draws. I mean,
that's baloney. That's baloney. The It Girls should have beat the Audience.
That was ridiculous.
Blasphemy. Yeah, Can Crusher Nation has just messed that thing up big time.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. I'm totally with you. Totally with you. That's the only one I got wrong. I voted for the It Girls.
Of course you did.
Every other match I've been right. Yeah, every other match I've been right. But Except the Freebirds won.
You didn't vote for the Freebirds. You didn't vote.
I totally forgot. They didn't need me, though, but I would have. I don't know if that counts. I would have voted for the Freebirds.
I was waiting because I was watching the votes. I'm like, this dickhead is going to vote at the last minute thinking he's going to be the winning vote for it because it was close. It was close.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It was for a little while anyway. It was closer than I thought it was going to be. Yeah.
Right. So.
But get out there and vote, guys. It's essentially a six-person tag team tournament. You've got the Von Erichs, you've got the Freebirds, the New Day, the Samoans, Demolition, the Vosity Club, the York Foundation. It goes on and on and on. I believe 32 teams of three. DX, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, and China. It's a lot of fun. So get on our Facebook page. Every day starting at 9 a.m., a new match is posted.
Yeah, and round two is like four matches away. So
it's coming up.
We're not far into the tournament, but we're not short into the tournament either.
Right.
John, let me do some OVW, and then I'll catch back up with you.
All right.
So OVW for this past week is extremely hot. This coming Tuesday at Bourbon Hall is the Nightmare Cup Finals. Guys, this is unbelievable. This tag team tournament, with my air quotations, has just been crazy. It's all over the place. And we're going to wrap back around with this next week and kind of break down everything that's happened in that tournament and talk about the winner and possibly, if I know where I'm going with this, we'll actually be able to speak to the winners as well, but I have to cross all paths with that. So the show starts with Dean Hill coming out and making a Four Corners match, but he's interrupted by Justin Hollywood Smooth,
who is then interrupted by Megan Bain, and it's going to set up an intergender match between, you know, Smooth Bean, Maxi Impaler, and Jax Dane. All of them that is going to be on the card for this Tuesday's Nightmare Cup final type of big pay-per-view, kind of on a Tuesday, though, but it's really a special event. It really is. Gangrel will also be in attendance. The tag team. I told you guys, I'm just out of the loop today. The television tournament gauntlet match. Tony Gunn defeats Dimes. Tony and Ashton. Cove is chasing after Lutz. He just kind of, I don't know. They are just at wits' ends right now. And then Lutz is jumped by Dapper Dan. So Gunn is getting away with not fighting a lot of matches in this whole TV gauntlet. All things kind of calm down, and he gets to fight Category 5, Corey Storm. He defeats him. See you later. And then AJZ defeats Shotgun Tony Gunn. Gunn attacks him after. And he says this is bullcrap. He's got to fight so many people. This AJZ comes out and is not going to be the champion. Tony takes his title and leaves the side door. So we'll have to see what happens there. The big contract signing between Stephen Rummage and Shannon the Dude. Of course, Adam Revolver's around, just lingering. And you know Revolver's going to be with Shannon the Dude. But all of a sudden, Rummage says, hey, hold on, I have a partner too. And it's the Pope, Elijah Burke. Welcome back to OVW, Elijah Burke. It is awesome to see you. And then we're down to our main event. Max and Justin take on Jax Dane and Megan Bain. And, oh man, I'm just telling you, I love Hollywood. I really do. He is just dastardly. He really is. He finds a way to keep that title and continue. I know this was a non-title match, but still, it's just craziness what this guy does. Max and Justin defeat Jax and Megan. But guys, make sure you check out OVW Tuesday nights. Some of it's streamed on Facebook now. You can always check out the replay on YouTube a few days later. All their huge events are $4.99 a month. You get the OVW Network. Just to let you know, we are going to be reaching out to Al and or Chad to come back on the show here in the near future to kind of do an overall, you know, of what's been going on with OVW and what to expect here in the near future. But as always, we're going to send you out to our great sponsor, and you're going to hear from Al Snow. It's Collar and Elbow coming up now.
Wrestling. A love and a passion we all share. I've started a wrestling brand. The wrestling brand. A brand founded on the aspects of wrestling. Two entities working together to create a product that connect emotionally for people everywhere. Collar and Elbow is the brand. Passion and love for wrestling is the drive. I am Al Snow, and this is Collar and Elbow, the wrestling brand.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the East End villain, Josh Ashcraft, and you are listening to the Can Crushers Podcast.
Welcome back to Can Crushers. It is I, the English professor, joining your host, Mark Martinez. And Mark, let's get into the good stuff, the Wednesday Night Wars.
Yeah, John, you're actually going to be shocked on which one I liked better. We haven't talked about this. Okay. We have not talked about this at all. So you want to talk about AEW first? Let's go. First of all, it's from Pittsburgh.
It's from where Pitt.
That's right.
It's from where Pitt plays basketball, the Peterson Center, and the IWC correspondent Soup was there.
That's right, he was. And it's also from where the English professor lives. Let's not forget that.
Oh, all right. Right.
Yeah, I have friends that went to this that were pretty stoked about this. I thought, all in all, it was a very good show. I like Cody Rhodes. I like the factions, the lines that have been drawn. You've got Cody Rhodes doing an interview with Tony Schiavone. And in the – was that the VIP section, or were they kind of in the bleachers? You've got Chris Jericho and his crew. That was hilarious. Heckling them and throwing popcorn. And Schiavone did a great job too. Like, hey, come on, guys. We're trying to have an interview. I will say the shots they take, that AEW takes at the competition, are within the confines of the show, which is important, and they make sense for that show. And I don't want to get too far into it, but Seth Rollins' comment was just totally Bush League. Jim Ross is 100% correct about that, and it reeked of desperation. I bring this up because during the segment, Cody looked up there and said, hey, that company we just came from, which he ended that phrase in a preposition, and I'll get into that in a little bit. But he could have said, now let me address it now, I'm sorry. He could have said, that's that company where we used to work. He could have used an action verb in place of the preposition. Anyway, that company where we used to work, there was a fourth wall, but here there's no fourth wall. I see you, and I can come up there after you. Which he did, and it just turned into, there's four of us and there's only one of you, and then Big Brother Dustin comes out. They make their way to the top.
You forgot the other people. DDP?
What's it? Kenny Omega joins him.
No. DDP and MJF.
MJF, I'm sorry. Yes, MJF joins him. And that's the cool thing. That's another cool thing about Chris Jericho. He also gets that it's show business and it's supposed to be fun. And he tells MJF that's a stupid scarf. What kind of idiot wears a scarf? And my son ate that up. He ate it up. He's like, well, you used to wear a scarf. And that's the whole point. That's the whole point. He's making fun of himself. And then who is the fourth person that comes out to join them? Self high five. Bang! DDP. And they make their way up the steps. Jericho locks himself behind the glass door. I guess that was a VIP section, or it led into like the concessions. But that brawl was so much fun. MJF gives Cody his scarf so he can punch through the glass, opens the door, big fight ensues. And my favorite part was Cody. Who did he grab? Was it Jericho? He stuck his face in the Dippin' Dots ice cream.
Yes.
What a hoot. Loved it. That's pro wrestling right there.
That, we're going to probably kind of mesh this all together now real quick. That was my favorite segment of the week between both shows. Best segment of the week between both shows. I also want to give props to some of the indie stars that were security, as we always do that. We saw Dan Hooven.
Absolutely.
Mambo Italiano, Andrew Palace, Officer Dan. We've mentioned them before, John, and I forgot who else I said. Chris LaRusso.
Yeah, LaRusso was there, yep.
All IWC stars there being the security and, yeah. But, John, that was the best episode of the week. Segment of the week. As I loved what they're doing. I really did. But on that same note, they had some of the worst episodes, segments of the week, too. On AEW, yeah. I think.
Yeah. That tag team match between
private party in the Lucha Bros, I'm just going to be honest here, guys. I hated it. I hated it. It made me
ill.
It made me want to puke. Ill, exactly. And I'm not exaggerating. It's funny you say that. That's exactly how I felt. Maybe I'm getting old and I need a new prescription of glasses, but I couldn't follow it. There's such a thing as being too fast. And my eyes are darting all over the place, and I feel my stomach starting to turn. It just was – it was ridiculous. And – go ahead, go ahead.
I'm disagreeing with you. Yeah. You said your eyes were moving too fast. It was that I didn't want to watch it then because at one point both people from Private Party are jumping over the top rope. And then, boom, the Luchas are right up, and they do the same spot. The same spot, yeah. 30 seconds later. It's just too much.
It is too much.
If one of those teams wants to be the spotty team, fine. Somebody's got to bring right. it down a little bit. I don't, where do you go with this, with after this? Like, literally, where
That's
do you go?
That's the point, yeah. You and I had a discussion. We were talking about how much we love the Mickey Rourke movie, The Wrestler. There's a segment, a scene that takes place where whether it was an actual wrestling event or not, or they were actors, I'm not sure. But they're talking about the whole show and the progression of the whole show, not just their match. Like, we'll work the leg. Why don't you guys do the neck? Why don't you guys do the arm? Because, yes, each match is its own show. But the entirety is a show, too, and you need to build to something. And we've said before, like, on the pay-per-view, you know, you lead with a woman's match in a cage. Where do you go from there? Because the women stole the show. But they stole the show because they told their own great story.
Right.
This was just, like, right out of the box with these ridiculous high spots. It just gets to be too much. I referenced that Terry Funk interview earlier, and I want to say one other thing. And he's right. He says AEW is not looking to bring the old guys back, which maybe you and I are not on their radar as much. They're looking for the new fan. But what I saw from the Pittsburgh crowd during that match was a lot of, whoa, whoa, the crowd. You know what I'm saying?
Right, and, a roller coaster.
Are you on a ride? Yeah, thank you. Are you on a ride at an amusement park? Or are you emotionally invested in a wrestling match? But it just was one trick after another. I hated it. I can't tell you how much I hated it. And the sad thing is, was it the week before or 2 weeks before? I loved Private Party. Right. I loved them. And in this match, I hated them.
Well, I want to ask you this,
Joe. I love the Lucha Bros. I hated them in this match.
And sorry, I love the Lucha Brothers. I love Sierra Dinero. I love all that. I love them. That's their shtick. I think that this combination of both shticks together, but we have the youngest member of the Can Crusher living in the youngest member of the Can Crusher nation. My God, I can't talk today. Living in your house. What did he think of this match? Was he invested?
I'm glad you asked me that. And I'm, you know, we just said Terry Funk said that they want a younger crowd, they want a newer crowd. My boy didn't like it. There was a point, and again, he's 9 years old. I want to be careful how I say this. He can be more easily fooled, maybe, than you or I, or another adult. Maybe not. Okay, then another adult.
Okay.
I'll say that.
Okay.
And there were times when he was like, Dad, he's just standing there. And that's a great point. Like, they were just standing there waiting for moves.
Yeah.
You know, one guy hits a devastating move to set up his partner who's going to do another devastating move, but the guy didn't land where he was supposed to, and you see him move over. And use them sparingly, these super high spots, but make them mean something. Make them count. Do them well. Don't do 1,000 of them because they're not all going to look good.
Note that both team hit their finisher in this match, and the other team kicked out of their finisher.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's today's wrestling, I guess. And the rest of the show, for me, was better. And, you know, I said that you tell the story, the progression of a show from match to match to match. They did mix it up. Thank God. I said to you during the course of that match, I hope the whole show isn't like this. And it wasn't. To their credit, maybe they're trying to do some different things to get some different fans involved. So they did mix it up a little bit, and I was glad to see that.
Yeah. So the Lucha Brothers win. I kind of thought, yes, the Lucha Brothers would be in the finals of the tag team tournament. Nice package by Wardlow. I was disappointed that he wasn't there. You know, being from Pittsburgh, I was disappointed he wasn't there.
It made all the sense in the world to have him there. My son and I were both disappointed too that he wasn't there.
The next match was SCU against Dark Order. SCU can do the high flying stuff, but they can also twist your arm. So I like them. The Dark Order is the throwback team that AEW has. They have one guy that can move, and then they have, I don't know, Earthquake or Typhoon or Blackjack Mulligan with a mask on. This guy just cannot move. But I love I love it.
Yeah. I enjoyed this more because of the different styles that were involved in this match. I thought commentary helped this match too. If you saw a particular move to a body part and the guy sold that body part hurting, and the commentary team talked about what that's going to mean for later in the match. I enjoyed this match so much more than the tag team match before this one.
And you get SCU with the win. Joey Janela against Omega. We've seen Joey Janela at IWC. I like him. Listening to people other than us on podcasts, they hate him. I think Janela's good. He's never going to be The Rock or Stone Cold or anything, but he does what he needs to do. Barry Horowitz said, everybody's not going to be that guy. Janela plays his part, and he plays it well.
And he could work. And he put on a good match with Kenny Omega. I'm liking Kenny Omega, too. I wasn't too sure about him following the one pay-per-view. He kind of gave a speech to close things out, and I was just thinking, what's he saying? Where is this going? Is he drunk? He just rambled on and on. But he's really grown on me, and I may become a fan of this guy.
Another segment that completely sucked. I hated the best friends against the Young Bucks. The best part of this match was Orange Justice, Orange Cassidy, the guy that has his hands in his pockets all the time.
Right. Jumping. He did a moonsault with his hands in his pocket, yeah.
Thank you. That was it. Yeah. Other than that, I don't want to be friends with the best friends. And everybody knows I despise the Young Bucks. Done.
Despise is a tough word, but I did reach out to you during that match and say, like, I can see why you hate these guys. I don't know what it is. I feel like they're being forced on us. Every week we're told they're the greatest team in the world. I'm not a fan of these guys. This is another situation. I know, and I don't want to contradict myself. We talked about the NWA champion kind of riding that line between heel and babyface, but it works for him. I still don't get what these guys are supposed to be. They do stuff that pops the crowd, and then they hug each other in a mocking way. They did it to the Rhodes brothers. They did it to best friends, and it kind of draws boos. I'm not sure what they're supposed to be. I don't know which side of the aisle they're on.
The next thing that's out there is the Brit package. I like these packages that they're putting together, not just because it was Wardlow and Brit tonight. They do them for other people, too, as well. But the nerd in me, they're put together great, John. They really are.
They really are. They're good. They're tight. They're concise. They're to the point. There's not a lot of wasted effort. But at the same time, they're not too busy. I love her jacket with the like the Pittsburgh colors, but their teeth.
Yeah.
Brilliant. You know, brilliant. And I loved during her match, Jim Ross saying, "This is the first time in my career where someone is introduced as a doctor that I'm commentating on, and the wrestler is actually a doctor." I thought that was hilarious. And my son asked me, like, what does he mean by that? And I was like, you know, Dr. Death, the Doctor of Desire.
Right.
Dr. D. There are all these doctors, and none of them were ever doctors.
And Kane is, being DDS?
Isaac Yankum. He wasn't a dentist?
He was a might be. He's what now? A judge, a jury, an executioner, the mayor?
A mayor.
Yeah.
The mayor.
I was getting there.
Anyway, very good match. I like Britt's finisher. She traps Hayter in that crossface, and it's not enough to get a submission. She's thinking about it. She's not tapping, but she's screaming. And that's such an opportunistic move, because while she's screaming, it gives Baker an opportunity to stick her fingers in her mouth, hit her central nervous system, which I guess is located,
under the tongue.
And that's it. Once that's locked in, man, either you tap or the lights go out, I would imagine.
I love Britt. I love that she came out with Steely McBeam. That was just being the hometown Pittsburgh thing. Plus, if you know us outside of Can Crushers, you know my wife, my son, and I are mascot stalkers. So the stupid things made it even better. And I continue to say Britt does not need a title in AEW right now. There's so many more ways that you can go with your top babyface woman, and she's going to be over. So having a nice little title shot.
Built her up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to spend just another minute on this match, if you don't mind. Britt took a beautiful
It's Britt. You can spend 10 minutes.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Let's give her her time. She took a beautiful beating in this match. I love the story that this match told, was that you kind of had an idea Britt was going over, and it's the right thing to do. Sometimes the better athlete doesn't always have her A game, but in the end, when it matters most, she finds a way to win. That's the story this match told for me. I thought it was brilliant. She got beat up most of the match.
She did.
But she got it. She did. But she got her finisher when she needed it. I like the post-match interview, too. They interview the loser, not the winner. And I'm okay with that.
And Brandy comes out and beats her ass. And Brandy,
She pushed her into a wall or a barricade or something and knocked her out. And I don't know the interviewer's name. I'm sorry. But she was like, "Brandy, what are you doing? Why?" And I guess Brandy just couldn't find the words. But she pointed at her and had this look on her face like she had something to say, but didn't stick around long enough to say it.
I like that everybody knows Brandy and Cody are married. They're together, this, that, and the other thing.
Right.
I like that they broke them up now. Cody came out by himself earlier tonight. Brandy's right. Now worried about her own shtick about the women. I love that. They're both the authority, right, so to speak. Not using the WWE word, but, you know, come on. We all know where this is. And I love that Brandy's now going to be worried about it. A Brandy-Britt feud is going to be great. But I think they need to wrap up the Britt-Bree Priestley feud first.
Right, right. One other side note. I know you believe this in your heart, and I believe it in mine. I'm the luckiest man in the world. You're the luckiest man in the world, having Kelly. But holy cow, Cody has got to be a close second. Brandy
is third.
Freaking gorgeous. Third. Well, yeah, behind us.
Yeah.
You and I are tied for first.
Right.
Holy cow, is she just smoking. And she's way talented. Way talented, and I hate to focus on anything but
looks,
the talent,
but looks.
But it's hard not to, man. She is beautiful. She is a great-looking woman.
So we have our main event.
And it's Moxicillin Johnny. No, it's Johnny Moxley against Pac. And I still don't know where I am with Johnny Moxicillin. I really don't.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm still not quite sure what to make of him. We keep beating this dead horse. Is he heel or babyface? Still not sure. I like this match, and I'm totally okay with the way it ended.
I love the way that it ended. I loved it.
Yeah. It's something different. When's the last time you saw a time limit draw? And I'm perfectly okay with it. It is to be continued. And Moxley didn't like the way it ended. And whatever the hell he's calling the move now, I guess it's not Dirty Deeds anymore. Is it the Death Rider? Is that what it's called?
It's a DDT.
That's what it's called.
It's a DDT.
It's a DDT. It's a double arm DDT.
Right.
Mick Foley used it years ago, and it was called a double arm DDT. Yeah, he hits that after the match because he was frustrated with the time limit draw. But I like the time limit draw. I'm perfectly okay with that finish.
Yeah, I am too. I really am. So all in all, AEW was, I don't know, good for me this week. Didn't blow my mind.
Yeah, not great.
Yeah, it didn't blow my mind, but it was okay. So let's shift the directions and go to NXT. Okay?
All right.
To start the show, you have Rhea Ripley against Bianca Belair. And a spoiler right now, this was my match of the week. These two are unbelievable. And I love the way that it ended with Io coming out and Candice coming out as well.
I'm totally with you. This was a tough match to follow on the show. This may have been the best match of the night. I was surprised. I thought Bianca's paid her dues. I thought she was next in line. But I'm looking forward to Shayna Baszler and Rhea Ripley because they're both two bigger, stronger ladies, huge ripped physiques. So I'm looking forward to like the powerhouse type of match between the two. I thought we were going to see Shayna Baszler and Bianca Belair with two very, very different styles. And we may see that at some point down the road. But, yeah, this was a great match to kick off the show.
I actually think of all of everything you just said, that Io is going to find a way to sneak in there and be Shayna's next opponent.
Interesting. But we've seen that already.
I know we have, but just one more before, because I think one of them's heading to the main roster real quick. All four of these women could be on the main roster and make hay, but I think one of them is leaving sooner than later.
So you're maybe predicting a heel program with Io and Shayna.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. No, that'd be fun to see.
So, but I love this match.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah. They're all, some are great, some are very good. I think the weakest link out of all these four women,
Candace.
You know what I'm thinking? You have a Candace. Yeah. That's all right.
It's all right. All right, next match is Matt Riddle against Cameron Grimes. I'm not a Riddle fan.
I love him. I love his commitment.
Bro, I know somebody that says bro.
I do.
Bro,
I love it.
30 years of saying bro is stuck in my head. I just can't stand it.
But the thing is, he's committed to that word. Like, he's got this look on his face whenever he says it. Like, he's got so much to say. And the only thing that he can say is bro. I love it. I'm totally into this guy. I love the way he kicks off his flip-flops. My wife has said, where's he from? He's from Vegas or something?
Sure.
The whole shtick is very Southern California. She's like, why is he not from Venice Beach or something? Like, he's got the whole surfer dude thing going.
Right.
I don't get why he's not from Southern California.
He could even be from, like, Kauai or anywhere.
Yeah. Like, he resides in Hawaii or something. I don't get why he's from neither of those places. Yeah.
There's a big beach in Vegas. Big.
Is there?
Yeah.
Okay. I've never been there, so I don't know.
I haven't either. I really like the Cameron Grimes guy because the last 2 weeks he's just jumped on people and won. Literally just bang, jump on you and you're done. And now you see that he's going to have a match, and I love that they had a match. The match, it was good. I just vomit every time I see Matt Riddle. That's all.
Because holy cow.
You know where he's going. We're going to get him against Goldberg. We're going to get him against somebody that I really don't want to see wrestle again. That's why I don't like him right now. That's what they're pushing for. And I don't... I would hope Matt Riddle, I don't know, decapitates Goldberg or whatever. I just don't want to see those people anymore. That's why I know what it's setting up.
What makes you think that? I'm just curious because I have not given that a single thought that it was heading that direction. But what makes you think that?
He's called out Brock. He's called out Goldberg. He does the jackhammer now.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, okay, okay. So you think that they're heading in that direction. Okay.
You don't?
I just thought it was – no, I don't. I just thought it was – something for him to say to kind of maybe lift him up a few pegs to show that he's maybe ready for the next level. I certainly did not think he was going to be booked in a program with either of those guys.
Oh, I bet
God, I hope.
See? The next match, by far the worst thing of the whole night combination. Breezango and Swerve against Forgotten Sons. This is, Breezango must owe debt to Satan or must have done something to Stephanie or something. That they have to come out as the Village People is unbelievable.
Yeah, this has gotten so ridiculous with these guys. You know, I remember the first time I saw Fandango. Our friend Billy had an extra ticket to Raw in like 2013 or 2014 when he was refusing to wrestle anybody because no one knew how to say his name.
Yeah.
And who is the guy with all the piercings? Was Prince Albert still wrestling at the time? I don't know. Maybe. I'm not sure.
Maybe.
But he was telling the ring announcer that you have to breathe the A's. Fandango. I thought this is hilarious. The crowd was getting red hot. Oh, just get in the ring already. Loved it. Refused to wrestle, did a little dance, and left. I love the shticky show business side of pro wrestling. I thought, this guy is so cool, he doesn't even have to work. How brilliant is that? Fast forward 6 or 7 years, and this guy's a caricature of himself. I hate the fashion police, man. I hate them.
Yeah. That's enough time for him. Angel.
I went on far too long about that, didn't I?
Angel Garza against Gentleman Jack Gallagher. Leo is on commentary. I didn't see Angel getting the win. I didn't. I thought this was going to be Jack against Leo again.
No, I kind of saw this one coming. I love Angel Garza. I really do. He is too cool for school. I think Jack Gallagher is a little passe. Maybe he does some jobs now, kind of needs a bit of a reboot. I don't know, man. I know there are smaller wrestlers that can do amazing things. There's just something about Leo Rush. I don't buy him as a champion, and his standing up at the end of the match and posing with his belt, I just don't buy it. I don't buy him. You know what I'm saying? There's something about Angel Garza I'll buy. I don't buy Leo Rush, and I don't know why that is. Maybe it's because I'm used to him as a manager. Like, to me, it's almost like Jimmy Hart goes out and wins a belt and now is suddenly a badass. Like, you were the guy getting smacked around.
Right.
You know? And now suddenly you're a world champ. I just don't buy this guy.
Right. 100%. Next up is Tegan Nox and Dakota Kai against Jessamine and Maria.
Marina Shafir, yeah.
Yeah. First of all, let me say this. I'm going to say it slowly. The horsewomen, the horsewomen are still sloppy, okay? But it works for them because –
all they know is MMA fighting.
Right.
They're still sloppy. I like them. I think they're just, they're not overbuilt. They're not, and I'm not knocking any woman. They're not anything special. They just want to come out, fight, roughhouse, kick your ass. So it works.
Right. And that's, go ahead. Right, right. And it's not to suggest like MMA fighters are
starting,
but there's a transition. There's a transition to pro wrestling that not everybody gets. And they're still a little green. I don't know. But you're right. It does work for them. They're just looking to go out there and fight. And that style, that look works for them. So, yeah, I'm okay with that.
But
I will say that the Women's Tag Team Championship, I'm sorry, you and I talked about this a while back, and I keep saying we have ideas and someone is planting a bug somewhere or something that they're listening to our ideas. You and I had the idea of making the Women's Tag Team Championship a traveling World Tag Team Championship that goes from one brand to the other. And we said it's a matter of time before the Women's Tag Team Championship is on NXT.
Right. John, and I would hope that the Horsewomen would get it. All right, granted, they lost this match, all right? And Tegan and Dakota get the championship shot next week, da-da-da-da-da. I love Kai and I love Knox. Both of them together, both of them together, they're amazing. Don't push this rehab story down our throats that they're going to win in their second match together.
I don't think they are. I don't think they are.
Okay.
No, I think the champs keep the belts. Absolutely, I do.
Which they were – all right, get ready. I'm going to upset people. They were bitches. I love the promo that the Kabuki Warriors did, just poking fun at them. I loved it. They finally have a voice.
Well said. Absolutely. You know, maybe there's a bit of a language barrier with Kairi Sane and Asuka and even Io Shirai. But all three of those women, they do have a voice and they have a personality. They can do different things. They can be the heels. They can be the baby faces. They're really good at what they do. I don't mean to just lump them all together, but there are three women who come to mind. Given the opportunity, they can communicate what they need to communicate.
Right. Right. All right. So we move along to the main event. And it's Strong against Lee, against Dijakovic for the North American title. Things broke down all over the place. The match was probably my second favorite match of the entire night. The ending is where, I mean, we could talk about the match, but the ending is where everybody's still talking about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And just very quickly about the match. Good, but typical triple threat story. Two guys beating up on the heel champion, getting him out of the way, and then fighting among themselves. Can't go wrong with that formula. Match itself was pretty good, you're right. But the way this ended, I don't think anybody saw this coming.
No, John, one point in the match when they did get Strong out, you saw Lee and Dijakovic just look at each other. It was a poster moment where I don't know if they meant to do it or whatever. They looked at each other and they said, screw it. Let's get back in the ring and beat the living shit out of each other. And they did. This is probably my favorite mid-card feud going on right now, these two. They're two big men that both can move and know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And we've said it how many times. It's, what did you remember? The look. You remembered the look they gave each other more than like a specific move they did to each other. I keep saying it. It's show business. We need the show part of it too, as long as it has to do with the fight. And it did. It was two fighters staring each other down, giving the crowd a look and giving each other a look like, you better bring everything you have, I'm going to whip your ass. And they didn't say a word. They didn't need to say a word.
Strong steals the victory, and the Undisputed Era comes out to celebrate with them. And Lee and Dijakovic, boom, instantly gone. See you later. I don't know if they just, like, used powder and they vanished or whatever, but they were instantly out of the ring. And then out comes Tommaso and his crutch. And you're like, well, they're just going to beat his ass down. Out comes Johnny Wrestling. And they're still going to beat his ass down. And then out comes Finn Balor. Granted, it's now still 3-on-4. But, you know, Roderick Strong is tired, so it's 3-on-3. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
And Finn's ready to go. He's taking his jacket off. And go ahead.
Just very, very quickly. It's good to see Tommaso Ciampa back. I remember you and I watching, I think he was on SmackDown, and we were texting each other, we called each other like, oh my God, that looked bad.
Yeah.
So he was in the hospital for a while, he rehabbed. I'm glad to see he's back. Hopefully he's 100%, he's not back too soon. But that was scary when he got hurt. It just goes to show you can all end just that quickly, but glad to see him back. And I like him with Gargano again. Heels, faces, heels, whatever, back and forth. You know, you have relationships like that. You fight with your best friend. You're friends again. I like those two guys better together than apart. It doesn't bother me that they've turned on each other and are back together again. But to get to what you were saying, boy, I didn't see this coming. Finn Balor, he needed something. He really did. We've said this how many times. He's just kind of, you know, in limbo, not doing much of anything. And he's way too talented for that. So I don't see this as a demotion with him being on NXT. I think this is sort of the new beginning that he really needed. I'm curious to see Finn Balor, the heel.
Yeah, and he's definitely a heel. He's not going to be with Undisputed Era. This is, he just doesn't like Johnny Wrestling. Because he didn't do any of the gang signs or anything like that. He just pointed down at Johnny and just says, okay, boom. And he walked out. I'm excited. I am excited now for Finn as well. So,
all right. Yeah, this was what NXT needed. This is definitely what NXT needed, was a show like this.
For sure. And this is why I said NXT, I don't know, in ratings it did not. I want to talk about this real quick, and then we'll the school bell I know is going to ring real quick and everything. The ratings went to AEW, and I think you're going to see the ratings going to AEW for a long time. But the show went to NXT. I'm telling you, I thought it was a much better show on NXT than it was on AEW.
AEW, yeah, I won't argue with you. Both were very good. Both were very good, but I think this week, for me, NXT edged them out.
Yeah. So, all right, do you hear that bell, John?
Yes. Let me get my things together and get ready to conduct class. In today's English tip of the week, let's take a look at when you may need quotes and when you don't. Generally speaking, if you see the word that in the middle of the sentence in regards to what someone is saying, then you don't need quotation marks. For example, I said that Can Crushers Nation better do their English homework. The word that means we don't need quotation marks in this sentence. But if we've removed the word that, then we do need quotation marks. I said, comma, open quotes, Can Crushers Nation better do their English homework, period, close quotes. Let's take a look at a couple more examples. When Jimmy Snuka sat down with Vince McMahon on TNT, the Superfly held up his index finger, pinky, and thumb and said, I want to tell you people that I love you very much. I love you very much in that sentence did not require quotation marks around it because the Superfly used the word that. Had Snuka not used the word that, his sentence would have sounded like this. I want to tell you people, comma, open quotes, I love you very much, period, close quotes. Again, the word that negates the use of quotation marks. But without the word that, you do need quotation marks. As Tito Santana lay in a hospital bed recovering from a Greg the Hammer Valentine figure four leg lock, the former Intercontinental Champion assured us he would be back in action soon and hunting the hammer and his title belt. If Santana had said, I want to say to the people that I'm going to be back, Arriba! Would we need quotes around I'm going to be back? The answer is no, because Tito used the word that. Remember, if you say something with the word that in the middle of the sentence, you typically won't need quotation marks. But if Tito didn't use the word that, his sentence would sound like this. I want to say to the people, comma, open quotes, I'm going to be back, Arriba! Exclamation point, close quotes. Remember, if you precede a quote with the word that, you do not need quotation marks. And with that, class,
you're dismissed.
Hey, this is Baby Doll, your perfect tan. And if you wanted to listen to some wrestling talk, listen to the Can Crushers.
And welcome back to Can Crushers. You're just knocking on me because I use air quotes all the time. Tell me that. That's exactly what it is.
But you do use them correctly for the most part when you use them. So
that is a bunch of bullshit.
There's that.
That is much more. No,
you do okay with the air quotes.
All right. So we're briefly going to touch on Raw and SmackDown. At the beginning of the show, you heard that we think it's just a hot mess. It's garbage. There's nothing on Raw that was worth a damn. In fact, I text the English professor during this, and I said, do you remember when we went to see WCW Thunder in Erie, which was a block away from your house? And you said yes.
Right, of course.
And then and then I said we left 20 minutes into it, about, I don't know, roughly.
Yeah, maybe half an hour, but it just was so boring. There was nothing going on. And yeah, this was...
I would have left Raw.
Late 99, early 2000, yeah.
I would have left Raw this week, too. The things that you're supposed to get excited about. John, Ric Flair came out. We love Ric Flair. He didn't know if he was in Cleveland, Waukeshabe, drunk, having sex, where his daughter was. He had no clue what was going on. So that's a disappointment.
It really is. And enough is enough with these guys. And same with Hulk Hogan. None of these guys had anything of consequence to say. Just the same catchphrases, corny insults, trying way, way too hard to sound cool. And what does this prove? Like, these guys wrestled 1,000 times across promotions. Why are we now getting the two of them managing teams? I don't get this at all.
It's a money grab. It's all it is, because they're going to Saudi Arabia Thursday, and he's going to give them like $1 billion.
But there again, what does WWE gain from this? So, you know, Hulk Hogan makes $1 trillion and Ric Flair makes $1 gobjillion. Good for them. What do the fans gain? And I don't know, does Saudi Arabia love these guys that much that they're going to come out in droves to see them? I don't get what WWE gets from showcasing these guys whose best years, at least as far as being pro wrestlers go, God bless them, and they live many, many more years, because I love both of these guys. But clearly their best years in this business are behind them. What does WWE gain by throwing them down our throats again?
Money. That's it. Vince only cares about the money, John. I'm telling you, we've seen it. We really have seen it, that it's just about the money right now.
So you think they're going to make money? You think they will make money by having Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan? You think
Yeah.
fans will come out and see this in Saudi Arabia? Okay.
Yeah, right. Over there. Because
yeah.
One, it's Thursday at 1 or 2 o'clock. It has changed. When they first started promoting it, it was at 2 o'clock. Now it's to 1 o'clock. Unless you're a garbage man that works 5 to 1, you are not leaving work to watch this, are you?
No, hell no. I've got no interest in this pay-per-view. I don't know how long it will last, but by the time I'm done, I'm going home to change into my costume and getting ready for the trick-or-treaters to come to my house. My favorite day of the year, by the way.
It really is. Hopefully we can post some pictures on Facebook of this. Actually, you should send them all to me so we can post every picture of you in recent years of you on Facebook that day. It should just be dedicated to you on Thursday. You're not going to get the kids to watch Crown Jewel because they're in school.
Right.
Which, thank right. God, stay in school, kids. Otherwise, you end up like Vince McMahon.
That's not a bad thing to be. A billionaire is not a bad thing to be, I guess. But anyway.
No, yeah, you're right. That made no sense on my part. But you're not marketing to anybody over here. I mean, we're definitely skipping. We're just going to throw everything together on this whole WWE segment. Otherwise, on Raw, there's no reason Street Profits, in their first ever match on Raw, are the main event. And you heard me talk about the Young Bucks. There's one team below the Young Bucks in heat.
Yeah, yep.
And it's the Street Profits. They try too hard. They're too much.
Yep, I agree. They're too much, and they try too hard. And I remember reaching out to you during their match saying, everything with them is a gimmick. Like, there's such a balance between the show business part of it and the wrestling part of it. And I said to you, they're acting like they need to make a tag. Just make a tag. You know, don't act like you need to make the tag. Show me that you need to make the tag. Their gestures, their movements, they're so phony. The acting is so over the top. Don't act like you're reaching for your partner's help. Reach for your partner's help.
And then
they're corny.
And then on the same aspect, nobody was holding. I don't remember which one made the tag, or I don't care. I was furious then. You remember this text that came your way? On the same note, nobody was holding him down. The other guy, his opponent, was either in his corner or on the outside of the ring. And he makes this leap, jump over, end up backwards in the corner to make the tag. Now, why the fuck do you have to do that? Sorry, it's been a while. But why do you have to do that? It's too much.
It's almost like maybe someone was supposed to be in his way, and that's he planned, and he went with it anyway. Rather than be in the moment and go for what's real, they go for what's showy. And that's what's annoying to me.
This match...
It just doesn't make it believable.
This match was below the Private Party Lucha match for me. Like, that the Private Party Lucha match of the week was too fast, and maybe I'm just not there. This was... I don't know. Worse than a video game match. It was just pure garbage. And other than that, there's nothing else on Raw to talk about.
I just want to mention one thing. The King's Court, gosh, you know, the people have a voice. And I appreciate what Rusev is trying to do. But the crowd has made it clear. God bless Jerry Lawler. I know... There are rumors out there. There's stories out there. People that don't like him. I don't know anything about that. I wish him well. And maybe his time has come. His commentary was funny in 1997. Crowd just wasn't into him.
Yeah, it's not appropriate now. It's not. I mean, I'm not being big PC guy this, that, or the other, but it's not appropriate now. You know, if you sneeze the wrong way, you're going to get in trouble. And some of the stuff that he says is not 2019.
And he's trying to make it still funny, but still fly under the radar. You can't do it. you got to be committed to the raunchiness. And that's what made him funny, was he was an old perverted hornball.
Right.
And that was fine. That was his character at the time, and it was fun at the time. You can't skate around that or skirt around that now. You know, you got to be committed to it, and you can't be in the PC WWE. So don't do it. Do something else. The crowd's just not into him. I appreciate what Rusev is trying to do, but that's not how you shut up a crowd. You know that,
right?
You tell a crowd to shut up because you want them to get louder,
right?
Not because you really want them to shut up. And that was an attempt on his part, maybe to help someone he admires. It didn't work. It again looked very desperate. Yeah.
You want to take the lead on SmackDown?
Boy, do I.
Oh, boy.
One of the things I liked about SmackDown, and I know you hated this, was the sassy Southern She didn't have to fight that fight. You know, she was going to walk away, and then she runs in, punches her in the face. This was stupid booking. She did the best with what she was given because she's very good. She's a pro, but she didn't need this. I'm not sure what they're trying to do with her, if they're trying to, like, build her up as a despicable heel. There are other ways to do that. It could obviously she's wrestling a local talent. Have her pin her and pick her up. Have her do some things where she's not ending the match when she could. Have her unnecessarily torture this young woman. It was still funny. She did the best of what she was given. Not a great segment. I still love her, though. I still think she may overtake Charlotte as far as my favorite woman on the WWE roster.
I can't wait till we get video, because I just threw my headset across the room. This is where we start, is with her. No.
Where do you want to start? With Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan again?
No. No, I don't. You could have just said it sucked. I am happy to see the Firefly Funhouse is actually back. I like those.
Yeah.
I do like those. But
I'm over Seth Rollins. I'm over Seth Rollins.
No, I agree.
He's
briefed SmackDown. So this is why I'm not diving head into SmackDown. I briefed it. And what I mean, I briefed it, the 30-second thing on Instagram where it says, it sucked. You know, that's... I was just not into it. Plus, we're moving, so
right.
Always transparent. We have a lot of shit going on in the Martinez house, so I missed it. And it doesn't bother me. I now know where you guys actually come from. When Paul would miss a show, you missed Raw, this, that, or the other. I did something for 2 hours last night that actually Friday night, that actually accomplished something in my life besides watching the sassy Southern Belle.
Right. We've had this discussion before. God forbid we ever had to miss a minute of wrestling, or we turned it on a few minutes too late, or we had to be somewhere. We never wanted to miss it. And lately, Raw and SmackDown is must-miss television. There just wasn't anything good about it. And just to hit a couple of lowlights, just to give the people a quick recap. Again, we kicked off with Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair saying not much of anything. Kofi Kingston, how much fun was it? And it was one of the only fun things I've seen come out of the WWE for a while, watching him fight for his chance. Even though the story was still convoluted, we never understood why Vince McMahon hated him. Just come out and say it. Give us something. You don't like him because he's a mid-carder. You don't like him because he's not big enough. You're racist. Something. Give us something. They never did. Whatever. Kofi did the best with what he was given, became world champion, loses the belt, and okay, that's it. He lost the belt, and now we're done. On the NWA, you have a guy still trying to come to grips with the fact that he's not a WWE world champion anymore in the perfect storm.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's about the belt. You know, he's coming to grips with the fact that he may retire now. All right, maybe he'll form a tag team, and it gives him something new. And granted, Kofi's back with Big E in the New Day, but to what end? I mean, this didn't even forward anything for these guys. It's disappointing to see. It's almost like they're not either throwing him away, which I don't think they're doing, or they're trying to figure out what to do with him. And in the meantime, I'd rather they just kept him off TV is what I'm trying to say. If you don't know what to do with your most recent hottest ticket, then just don't have him on.
Give him a break.
Wait until you figure it out. Until you figure it out, because it's not fair to Kofi.
Right. Anything else quickly? Because we have to wrap this up. It's been long.
No, trust me. Not really.
All right.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's run through our shtick real quick. Collar and Elbow. Make sure you check out their website for some sweet-ass merchandise. We always talk about how comfortable the shirts are. John's going to go to jiu-jitsu today and wear his Collar and Elbow.
Right.
There's new merchandise out there. You know, go to collarandelbow.com, and when you check out, type in Can Crushers, and you'll get 10% off. So Al Snow has created a mega t-shirt place, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Mega t-shirt place.
Mega, yeah. He'll love that one. You can reach us at Gmail. It's called cancrusher69@gmail.com. We're on Facebook and Instagram at cancrusher69. This is the first time I've ever done this. Can you tell?
Your wife cleaned up and threw away your notes. You say you want transparency. Let's tell the people the truth.
Yeah, it really is. Which is good. Our website is cancrushers69.wixsite.com/cancrushers. And you can hear us on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Buzzsprout, Facebook, anywhere that you can listen to us on podcasts. Sure.
Wow.
Thank you.
That was off the top of his head, ladies and gentlemen. No notes.
Yeah. I'm pissed, by the way. She's in the shower right now. I just want to go flush the toilet on her right now. I really do. I do want to say, with the move and everything, didn't make it to Angel's Gate last night, and I'm going to reach out and make sure that we do get to one of these shows. I did try to pull it up on my phone, though, so I have to dive into this. I did try to pull it up on my phone to listen to it and or watch it while we were cleaning and everything, and the iPay-per-view was canceled. So I hope the show went on, but if not, maybe I didn't miss anything.
Well, all right. Hopefully, as much as we hate to miss wrestling, hopefully you didn't miss anything.
Right. But again, I might have grown up a little bit in this last week of saying, hey, I got to take care of other things.
Oh, wow. Perish the thought of you growing up.
Right. This Saturday at Court Time Sport Arena in Elizabeth, Pennsylvania is IWC Winner Takes All. John, I know you cannot be there. Mrs. Can't Crusher is going with me. Soup, the correspondent, and his brother-in-law are going. So I'm really excited for this one. This used to be their big show in December. Now they shifted it to November because the Pittsburgh Classic is there, and there's some big matches, dude.
Yeah, there are. I'm bummed. I'm going to not be able to attend this one, but this is always their, safe to say, like probably the best event of the year.
Besides Super Indie, I'm still
That's a good point. Yeah.
But then I also like the do-do-do-do-do one, the reset button.
The reset button, yeah, the do-do-do-do-do one.
I mean, it's always something with IWC. I love how they just pulled us in. A monthly show when we want a daily show from them.
Yeah. But you know what? They're monthly shows, but they put everything they have into them, and they've never had a stinker as far as I'm concerned. They've always been very, very good to really great.
So three matches we'll talk about real quick is Dylan Bostic against Jimmy Nuts, Jack Pollock against R.C. Dupree, and for the heavyweight championship, Jackson Argos against Rhino.
All right. First match, as much as I want Jimmy Nuts to win, I think that rotten little bastard Dylan Bostic pulls something, uses a chair that the referee won't see or hear. So I got Dylan in that match.
I got Jimmy.
Okay. I hope you're right. I hope I'm wrong and you're right.
Okay. RC against Pollock.
Boy, is that tough. Man, what a feud this has become. And these guys were part of a faction. I think Jack Pollock finally gets his revenge for being betrayed by these guys.
Wow. Okay. And then Argos.
Well, who do you have?
Oh, yeah. Duh. I definitely have Jack as well. Okay. I have storylines to go into this, but I'm not going to mention them until maybe later. Off air, I'll tell you. But okay. I have storylines going into this, thinking something else is going to get set up, da-da-da-da-da. But, all right, now we're to Argos and Rhino. We got to wrap this up.
Argos. I don't see Rhino being champ.
No, I agree. As RC comes back out or something, it's maybe all hell breaks loose because Jack's got to get that title back.
Yeah. And both Team Storm guys don't lose in one night.
Ever?
Not that night.
Team Storm still in the Trial of Trios tournament coming up this week as they will be taking on Dalton Castle and the boys. That's right.
Oh, that's that had the potential to kind of be an IWC match. Yeah. I don't know who I'm going to vote for. That's tough, man.
Yeah, it is. So, all right, guys, we will see you Wednesday when you get to hear from the Perfect 10 Baby Doll. Really excited about that interview we did just the other day. So, John, it's all yours. Wrap it up.
Remember, guys, just because you're trash, it doesn't mean you can't do great things. It's called a garbage can, not a garbage cannot.